Wake up. It's the Morning Motivation with Brittany Daniel. Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, and Grand Rising. It is another beautiful day. It is April 8th, 2022. How are we in April already? And I know I say the date every day, and it still astonishes me that we're in a whole nother month. It is springtime. It is getting warmer in Atlanta. Thank God, because I was so over the cold. So I hope you guys are doing well today. I hope you're blessed. Happy Friday. We are continuing to read 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. We are on chapter 5. So if you missed any of the nuggets this week, then I highly recommend you go back and watch the episodes from this week, because we dive deep into the 9 things successful people do differently. And again, what I love about this book is it's straight to the point. There's things you haven't heard before. This is like most books are really motivational. They tell you sky's the limit, all of this stuff. But this book gives you really practical steps that I feel a lot of self-help books miss. So I'm going to be giving away one of these books today. So I'm super excited. So let me know in the comments if you've never won a giveaway, and also if you follow me on Instagram. And the way you enter all book giveaways is by following me on Instagram, making sure you're subscribed to this channel. And the more you interact on Morning Motivation Live, the more you increase your chances of winning. So I hope you guys are following me on Instagram and all that great stuff. And I really want to know who hasn't won before, because I have a list, but I think I'm missing a few names. So we're going to dive right into it, and we're going to say our morning prayer. Then I'm going to go ahead into the comments and give you guys your morning shout outs. So if you are not religious or spiritual, that is totally okay. I hope that I can pray for you anyway. Okay. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up again for another beautiful day. I pray that everybody gets to enjoy their Friday, enjoy their weekend, that we are sticking to our goals and our commitments and aligning with your truest purpose for our lives, that you embrace us with wisdom, discernment, knowledge of self, self-love, kindness, compassion around the world, and that we get a little peace because you know what's going on down here. So hopefully that could be worked out sooner rather than later. In your darling son Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. If this is your first time watching, let me know in the comments where you're from and where you're watching from. And also, do not forget to subscribe. You guys hit the like button and comment down below. The more you guys interact while you're viewing it, no matter what time, then it increases viewership and all of that, and helps the Morning Motivation Show continue to grow and expand. So thank you so much for being here, especially my live watchers. Y'all are so official. Y'all show up each and every morning, and it really warms my heart. And I'm really excited to be here for another day. Good morning, you guys. So we are going to the morning shout out. So good morning, Felicia. Good morning, such a lady. Good morning, She Amber. Good morning, Patrice. Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, Turquoise. Good morning, Charlene. Good morning, Dia Dia. Good morning, Shanta. I think I said that right. Good morning, Reckless Inspire. Good morning, Patrice. You haven't won yet? Okay. Thank you, Patrice. Good morning, such a lady. Good morning, Life is Suzette. Good morning, St. Louis. Ow. Good morning, Brown Eyes. Good morning, Patrice. Good morning, May. Good morning, Amala. No, Amal. Good morning, Amal. Good morning. You guys are, thank you for showing up. Good morning, Christine. Good morning, Brandy. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I have a job interview today and I'm so nervous. I hope all goes well. Everybody, send them all you guys' prayers and blessings and good luck. You're going to kill it. I know you've been working on it. Make sure you have your, you know, you went over some interview questions, but you are going to kill it. And whatever's meant for you is meant for you. So as long as you're prepared and you've done your due diligence, study a little bit before you go in there about the company and have a question or two for the end, be yourself, smile and be pleasant. You will get the job if it is alignment with what God has for you. But I pray that you get it if this is what your truest heart desires. Thank you. Hey, May. Yeah, so no, I have not updated my podcast. All of that is coming soon. So sorry for anybody who's missing it, but they are all on YouTube and they are on Facebook in order. So if you can't wait for the updates on the podcast, then you can listen to them right here on YouTube. So sorry for any inconvenience for that. Good morning. You guys are great. So go ahead and shower her with all the great energy and all of that. So we are diving back into nine things successful people do differently, and today is chapter five. So to recap for anybody who missed out on the rest of the week, so the first chapter was to get specific. The second chapter was to seize the moment and act on your goals. The third chapter was know exactly how far you have to go. Yesterday, we talked about being a realistic optimist. And today we are focused on getting better rather than good. Okay, and I like this chapter because sometimes when we are going after our goals or we're achieving things, sometimes we tend to just have goals, we check them off, and then we go to something else, or we guess hop around instead of building on what we already have, instead of building on what we've already established for ourselves and get in alignment with everything that we have to do. Because if you have multiple things going on, it's easy to drop the ball. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to think that we have it all figured out, or we can take care of something else, and we load on more, or we allow other people's priorities to become our own and distract us and things like that. So the book says, believing you have the ability to reach your goals is important, but so is to believing that you can get the ability. Many of us believe that our intelligence, our personality, and our physical attributes are fixed. As a result, we focus on goals that are all about proving ourselves rather than developing required new skills. So, if you guys are bold enough, I want to know what about yourself would you like to improve on or prove in your life? Because it says right here, it says many of us believe our intelligence, our personalities, our physical attributes are fixed. They're fixed. Like some people say, oh, well, this size runs in my family, or obesity runs in my family, or skinny runs in my family. Some people don't continue on their education. And when I say education, I'm not talking about school, I'm not talking about a certification, but education, you can educate yourself in all different facets. You can pick up a book and gain more education. You can watch YouTube videos and gain more education. So that's why I always tell people to keep growing, keep learning, keep striving. I'm not the only one. You know, that's why we read books. That's why I always talk about books and development here on Morning Motivation. That's what it's all about. It's about growing and watering what we already have. If we're plants, right, we have to continue to feed ourselves, because like I said, if we don't learn anything after high school, right, if we get to 18 or 17 years old and we leave high school and we don't read, we don't, you know, grow our mind, all we do is focus on social media or learn what everybody else knows, right? And that's skewed because we don't know where the source comes from a lot of times with these posts and a lot of times with this news that we get on social media. But if that was the benchmark of us learning, then a lot of us are far behind. You know, that's 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of not learning anything or developing ourselves and growing. The book says that our personalities are not fixed, and I highly, highly agree with this. You know, sometimes you'll hear some people say, well, that's just who I am. And that's not true. You can change aspects of your personality if it's something that you feel is important to change. You know, if you're a pessimist, you can change yourself into an optimist. Now, it's hard work. It does take a lot of mental work and a lot of perseverance and focus and determination. However, it is truly something you can do. My personality now is not my personality that I had in college or in high school 5 years ago, 10 years ago. As we grow as people, or as we become older, because you can become older and not mature. You can become older and not grow, right? Well, you can get stuck in a certain place in an aspect of your life. Like you can grow maybe mentally because of what life has for you, right? Or you had to mature quick because you had to grow up fast. But that doesn't mean your maturity grew with that. Or that doesn't mean that your knowledge grew or your financial knowledge or your emotional intelligence grew. It just means you got older or maybe one aspect of your life grew. So when you think about your life in all buckets, all aspects, financially, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, where are the areas that you can do a little work in? What areas can you, what my boyfriend says, can use a little straightening? Because we can continue. We're going to get older every single year. We're going to get older. That does not mean you get wiser. You know, that takes effort. That takes communication. That takes learning. That takes really looking at ourselves and saying, what areas can I improve in? You know, if you have bad money habits now, if you don't know how to budget and save now, or you're not learning how to continue to watch your money, continue to grow your money, learn about the things in the industry or finances, and you just continue to do the same thing, then you're going to be financially immature. You know, if you're continuously living paycheck to paycheck, continuously not having savings, continuously getting snubbed with what you're worth and how much you should earn on a job, and you continue in that cycle, then you're financially immature, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But if your goal is to get out of debt, if your goal is to strive and become wiser, what things do you have to do? What things do you have to learn? Where in your life can you make those adjustments and improvements? This is so crucial, especially as we're getting older. Because like I said before, older does not mean mature. We know plenty of people in our world, in our lives, we see on social media, we see on a day-to-day basis that do not get better, or excuse me, that aren't mature. You know, there's a lot of people that have very immature outlooks on life, depending on where they sit. And that's a personal opinion, but we have to continue to grow in all aspects of life in order to gain the wisdom, the knowledge, and maturity that it takes to be better people. So your personality is not fixed. Who you are right now is not a fixed thing. Now, I do believe that there are certain things that God has placed in us that are fixed so that we execute his purpose for our lives, you know, because that's the greatest and highest achievement, is ensuring that we are focused and we are pursuing what God has for us, right? But in the midst of that, in what ways on that journey do we need to improve ourselves? On what ways in that journey can we get better? Can we expand and grow and nurture ourselves? And that's why I say that partnership and having, and if you don't have a significant other, that's totally fine. But when you date and when you do have a significant other, I think that that's when you learn yourself, I feel, the most. When you're single, you can see areas in your life for sure that need work. You know, I spent a lot of time, a lot of years single, a lot of time by myself, which I loved, which I feel is great, because you need that time to explore. You need that time to get to know yourself, your likes, your dislikes. You can travel by yourself. There's so many great things you can do while you're single and while you, you know, you can work on your childhood traumas. You can go to therapy and all of that thing. But when you partner up with someone or when you have someone in your life, they are a mirror of who you are. And there are times where you'll find things that other people do that you don't like. Your parents can be a mirror to you as well. That you can see things that they do that you're like, oh, I'm starting to act like my parent in that way. Maybe I don't want to take on that attribute, and you can work on it and fix it. And when that other person is in your face, and if it's a healthy situation, then they can also tell you areas that you need to improve on or areas that could be better if that person's healthy. You got to make sure that person's coming with a healthy mindset. So she, Amber, says, growth is definitely a mindset, not age, to me, because like you said, you can get older and still be immature. Absolutely. I'm breaking certain mindsets that run through my family, such as a poverty mindset. And that one is crucial, you guys. This one right here holds a lot of us back from earning more income. This holds us back from experiencing things in life because we feel like it's not for us. We don't have enough money. You know, there's so many things that this mindset, a poverty mindset, can hold us back. So I'm so proud of you, Patrice, for executing that. Good morning, Chevy Chev. Do you have any advice for people going back to school and how to change your mindset and studying and putting the time aside for school? I love that. So a few years ago, I had to go back to school and go to grad school in New York. And that was a huge adjustment for me. I actually have videos about, if you're thinking about, should you go to grad school? Why do people go to grad school? Those videos are on my channel. But one of my biggest tips is just understand that you are adjusting to something new. Give yourself that time to adjust. And we're going to actually, there's some tips in this book, in this chapter, that talk about new things and adjusting. But don't put pressure on yourself to be great or be perfect. Just know that you're adding skills to your life. You're getting wiser. And it's going to take a learning curve in order to adjust, but just take it a class at a time and make time for studying like you make time for everything else. You know, if you had a dentist appointment, you would put that in your planner, right? If you're a planner, because if you're in grad school, there's a whole lot of reading. Good morning, you guys. So that is going to just take time. You're going to have to set time aside to read. I used to read on the train all the time. So that was like about an hour commute. So I would use that time to try to read. I would print out my little essays, and I would read them on the train as much as possible. That's not always the best way to do things, but making sure you plan out your time and knowing that you applied for school and you got into school for a reason, and set your sights on the bigger goal. But the book is going to dive into this. So let's talk about, let's see. It says, embracing the fact that you can change will allow you to make better choices and reach your fullest potential. People whose goals are about getting better rather than being good, take difficulty and stride and appreciate the journey as much as the destination. So enjoy this journey, Chevy Chev. Enjoy the process of, hey, I'm starting something new. I'm going back to school. This is going to be a learning curve. But like the book says, it says people whose goals are to just get better rather than being good, take difficulty and stride and appreciate the journey. It says, while some people may be eager to tackle new challenges, hoping it will help them climb the corporate ladder, many workers are really just trying to survive without committing any major screw-ups. Becoming responsible for someone, something new and unfamiliar is undeservably frightening. The odds of making a mistake increases dramatically when you are inexperienced. So when you don't know how to do something, when you're doing something for the first time, or you're integrating something back into your life, good morning, when you're integrating something back into your life as far as school, do not have the expectation that I need to be perfect. I need to do this well. I need to, just do my absolute best. I'm a perfectionist. So when I started school, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get straight A's. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And the book suggests that when you're starting something new, the chances of you not doing it right is far more drastic and increases your odds dramatically than if you're going to go in there and kill it, right? So it says, somehow you can motivate yourself to approach new responsibilities with confidence and the energy. And the answer is simple, though perhaps a little surprising, give yourself permission to screw up. Give yourself permission to not do things perfectly. Give yourself permission that you're going to make a mistake. You may ask a silly question in class. You may not do everything wrong. And the book suggests when you give yourself this permission that, hey, I might fail in certain aspects. I might not get this right 100%. The chances of you failing decrease. It's really weird how our minds work. It says, I know this might not be something you're thrilled to hear, because immediately you're probably thinking, if I screw up, I'm going to be one of those who pays for it. But needn't worry about that, because studies show that when people feel that they are allowed to make mistakes, they're significantly less likely to actually make them. Let me explain. It says people approach any task with one or two types of goals. what I call be good goals and where okay, so the be good goals is where they focus on where the focus is on proving that you have a lot of abilities and are really and really know what you're doing. And a get better goal is where you focus on developing the ability to learn and master new skills. So when you go into the mindset of, I want to do this well, I want to just be good, we have the tendency to try to prove to ourselves, prove to everybody, the universe, you know, your professors, your counterparts, your peers, that I'm good enough to be here, that I know what I'm doing. And we kind of put on this facade when we want to be good, right? When we want to step into something and do it well. And what the book suggests is, no, embrace on getting better. I'm in school because I'm getting better. I'm developing new skills. I don't know what I'm doing. I got this new job and I took this position so I could get better, you know, and it's okay to not know, because when you start anything new, 9 times out of 10, you don't know. But it says when you approach the goal for just the sake of getting better, then you focus on developing the skills and the abilities to learn and master those new skills. So having the mindset like, hey, I'm new to this, I may make a few mistakes, it's not the end of the world. And that decreases your likelihood to make mistakes, which is very interesting, right? It says the problem with be good goals is that they tend to backfire when we are faced with something unfamiliar or difficult. We quickly start feeling that we don't actually know what we're doing, that we lack the ability, and this creates a lot of anxiety. Countless studies have shown that nothing interferes with performance quite like anxiety does. And some of us, we know about all of that, okay? It is the productivity killer. Anxiety is the productivity killer. The getting better goal, on the other hand, is practically bulletproof. When we think about what we are doing in terms of learning and mastering, accepting that we may make some mistakes along the way, we stay motivated despite setbacks that may occur. So if you're just honest with yourself and say, hey, I'm not gonna know what I'm doing every step of the way. This is new to me. I have no idea what I'm doing. And you go into it with that mindset, then you already know that, hey, I might make mistakes, but it's not a big deal. I can fix it, I can learn, and I can continue on. When we have a blank sheet of paper in our minds, like, hey, I'm learning, I'm new to this. This is very different for me. This is something that, you know, isn't natural to me. Then you give yourself that freedom, that permission to just be and learn and soak it up and be new to it. And it really decreases your likelihood of anxiety, because like the book says, if you show up and I have to be good, I have to be on, you know, people are looking at me, and we have all these narratives and all of these standards for ourselves. When we screw up or when we face something that we are like mentally, it could get very distracting. You know, oh my gosh, I didn't do this right. Or, oh my gosh, I didn't say the answer right. And it creates all of this energy of anxiety in us. That's really unnecessary. But if you face it like, I'm just here to get better. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know what I'm doing, but I will learn and I'll get better. Then when you make a mistake or when you're faced with an obstacle, it's not a big deal. You'll go search for the solution rather than focus on the problem and rather than get all this anxiety and stress. Does that make sense? I love this book for that. This book is so practical, y'all. I love it. Brandy says, yes, I agree with that. I transitioned into a new job and there is a definitely a learning curve. I'm learning to give myself grace and understand that I won't know everything right away. Exactly. And there's like a period of time where people know there's like a 90-day adjustment period, especially in the military, that they tell people to take. Like, don't go in hard charging, like, oh, I'm here, I got hired, I know, blah, blah. They tell you it's very wise to just sit back and learn for a little bit before you implement any change, before you give your 2 cents, before you, you know, really dig your toes deep into something. Sit back and absorb, learn the new systems, learn, you know, the different things. You give yourself that grace period of, hey, I'm new, I'm just learning. I don't know. And you'll be surprised when you take that approach. So many people will be more likely to help you versus if, you know, maybe your boss or somebody says, hey, do you need help with something? Or do you want, you go, oh no, I got it. I'm okay. You know, we take it all on and really you don't know. Really, you're sitting there freaking out because you're trying to act like you have it together and you're more likely to screw up or cause yourself, like I said, or the book said, a whole bunch of anxiety. When if you go, oh yeah, sure, that would be great. And just take the advice and just take the learning and understand that you're in a phase of adjustment. Yesterday, we talked about when you are doing anything new, when you move to a new city, when you take on a new goal, when you take on a new situation, there's always an adjustment period that you have to give yourself grace for. Because you're not going to learn or understand or be great 24/7. So like I said, so we're going to read that part again. It says, getting better goals, on the other hand, are practically bulletproof. When you think about what you're doing in terms of learning and mastering and accepting that we may make some mistakes along the way, we stay motivated despite the setbacks that might occur. Just to give you an example, in one study I conducted a few years ago, this is what the book is saying, we found that people in pursuit of be good goals, or i.e. trying to show up or show people how smart they are, performed very poorly on a test of problem solving when we made the test more difficult, either by interrupting them frequently or by throwing in a few additional unsolved problems. So they put people in a room and tested them. Everybody who wanted to be good, like they wanted to show up and be good and be their best selves. Anytime that they were interrupted, anytime that they added more stress to the situation, they started decreasing in the test. They started failing the test or not doing well in the test. And it says the amazing thing was the people who were pursuing the get better goals, i.e. who saw the test as an opportunity to learn a new problem solving skill. The people that were just like, hey, I'm here to learn. I'm here to, you know, just see what I can do to improve myself, were completely unaffected by any of our ability, our dirty tactics. So in the midst of the people that were doing the get better goals, anything that was thrown at them during the test, they were unfazed. No matter how hard we tried to make it, these participants stayed motivated and did well. When many of us take on new projects or goals, we expect to be able to somehow do the work flawlessly, no matter how challenging it may be. Our focus on being good and very real protects the prospects of failing to meet and expectations become terrifying. The irony is that the pressure to be good results in many more mistakes and far interferes with our performance than if we were focused on just getting better. Research shows that focusing on getting better also enhances the experience of working. We naturally find that what we want to do is more interesting and more enjoyable when we think about it in terms of progress rather than perfection. But that's very interesting to me. The duality between your mindset. Good morning. The duality of mindset. So how are you going to approach a new goal? How are you going to approach something new for yourself? Something that is something that's unfamiliar to you, that's foreign. You know, and I love that it gives you, the book gives you that grace and that just breathing room just to be like, I don't know. And it's okay. It's okay not to know. It is okay not to know and to have that and give yourself that grace. Like, I'm just here to get better. I'm just here to learn a new skill, to advance my life as much as possible because I don't know. And then that way, that takes the weight off. That takes the stress off. That takes the having to show up and show out and perform. I feel like we, especially as Black women, have so much pressure to be a certain way. you know, to speak a certain way, to show up a certain way, to perform a certain way, to dress a certain way, to wear our hair a certain way. And when we just self-accept, when we just say, you know what, if God wanted me to be perfect, he would have made me perfect. He didn't make me perfect. I'm here as who I am. I'm here in my skin and I'm good enough. Knowing that you are good enough right where you are, right with what you know, and that you're going to gain the skills, you're going to learn, you can change the course at any time, you can get better at any time. You know, you don't have to stay in this box, in this bubble of this is who I've been. You can say, well, this is where I'm at now, but you're still alive. You're still here. God is giving you more days and opportunities to learn and get better and to take the pressure off yourself. We have enough pressure, y'all. We have enough pressure being women. We have enough pressure being most of us women of color at any turn that is. You know, so give yourself that grace, give yourself that space to be like, you know what, I'm just here to get better and I'm just going to enjoy the process of learning. Especially if you're in grad school, I don't know if, let's see, who asked me that question? Who asked the question? Chevy Chev. What I love about that is you just give yourself the opportunity to learn. And if you're in grad school, you get to learn about what you're interested in. At least I did. I picked a program where I wanted to learn what I wanted to learn. So I was able to do research on topics that I was interested in. So hopefully we're going back to school and learning something that interests us or to expand our current, you know, states of whatever that is in your career. Possibly you're changing career paths. So you get to learn and new and you enjoy the process even more when you take that anxiety off. So I love that. Let's see. Yes, I love my older homegirl from church, but she only can talk about Jesus. No conversations on marriage, dating, kids, buying a car, house, renting out, retirement, stocks, and corporate. Some people, that's just, you know, they just what they know. Good morning, you guys. Let's see. Patrice says, sorry, Brandy, I think I already read. Did I read your? Yeah, I read your comment. Patrice says, that's so interesting. Our mindsets are so powerful and I love learning new things like this. So focused on developing. Absolutely. Kiki says, find an older mentor. I would caveat, Kiki, that they don't necessarily have to be older. They just have to have more experience in whatever realm you're trying to gain. Because there are girls younger than me that I learn from for social media all the time. So it's really not so much of the age. It's their level of experience in whatever you're trying to pursue. So if you're trying to pursue finances, going to somebody older doesn't guarantee that they're going to give you the game on how to get finance. And I'll give you a perfect example. My grandmother is in her 70s and she watches Wall Street Trapper and learns about stock markets and learns about investing and learns about all that stuff. And then she calls me and tells me about it, you know, and I tell y'all to watch Wall Street Trapper. So I love that. So not necessarily older, you know, because depending on when they grew up and their mindset, they might not have the keys that you need for today's day and age. You know, if you talk to some people that have older marriages, you might not agree with how they went about that. So you have to find somebody, a mentor who is more knowledgeable in the area of life that you're trying to pursue. I would say that. Now, so because older doesn't mean more mature and older doesn't mean wiser. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't have no old fools. But y'all know we know a couple old fools. Hey, Dang Dion. Hey, girl. Just started a new job a month ago and somehow they expect me to be perfect or know what I am doing all the time. Sometimes it's not even you. It's others' expectations that can drain you. Yes, but I will caveat, Dion, if you allow them to drain you. You can set those boundaries and inform them, say, hey, you know, I'm new. I'm not even, you know, and you. There's a window for this too. I'm learning and I'm not sure at the moment, but I will get you the answer. You know, I'm still learning. Okay, you know, and sometimes you got to remind people, hey, I just started. Because a lot of times, Dion, what it is people, especially when you're on a new team, right? if you come to a situation, I don't know if this is your situation, but when you enter a space, when you've entered a team, 9 times out of 10, they have way more work on their shoulders than they signed up for, that they wanted. So when somebody new comes, they're like, "Ooh, finally, thank you. I can put this all on you. Here you go. This is your job. This is what you need to do." And that's not fair. And you have to sometimes set those boundaries that, hey, I'm still in my 90-day trial period. I'm still in my phase of learning. And then also having expectations. I see your comment, Percy. I'm coming to you next. That just because they have that expectation of you, that's not your business. Remember, we read the four agreements. It's not my job to care about what other people have to say about me. My job is to do my best, to show up as my best self, and to alleviate my anxieties. Other people's expectations of you are not your business. You know, when I was in the military and as a lieutenant, man, they expected me to be this GI Jane and to be like Billy. And I had to let that pressure go because I tried and failed every time. And it was just like, you know what, when I started accepting who I was, when I was in a space where I was just like, you know, if God wanted me to be that person, if God wanted me to be that way, I would have been. He didn't make me like that. And that as soon as I started accepting who I was, I let go of all that pressure. I let go of your expectation. Because at the end of the day, the only person's expectation of you that really matters is the person cutting your check. And as long as that relationship is straight, your peers, you know, at the end of the day, it ends. You know, I'm not here for you. I'm here to do this job. I'm here to do it to the best of my ability. I was hired, so they thought I was good enough. Hello. They thought I was good enough. So relax. Sometimes you got to set boundaries with your coworkers. You know, Percy, before I get to you, I'm going to say this story. Remember, I told some of you guys a story before when I was disrespected by one of my coworkers. I pulled him to the side in my boss's office and, you know, take this with a grain of salt because everybody's career isn't like this. And I told him, "You will never disrespect me like that again." He had me messed up, you know, and professionally I did it. I didn't curse at him or, you know, whatever. But I was like, "You will never disrespect me like that again." And I never had a problem with him. But sometimes, especially people of other races in America, they have a tendency to have they want you to have an inferiority complex. They want you to feel like they're better when they're not. They're no better than you. So sometimes you got to put people in their place. Hey, Katie, I will get to it. Katie, I'm new. I'm learning. As soon as I learn how to do this, I will execute it for you. Okay. Thanks, Katie. And in your mind, Heffa, go sit down somewhere. Not now, Katie. You know, you got to put those boundaries as much as you can on yourself and for yourself. And don't let nobody pressure you or make you feel that type of way. Okay. Percy, thank you for the super chat. To the person who said their friend only talks about Jesus, I have a friend that's in the same way. And I told them, "We not in heaven yet. We still sorry." Y'all can't be mad at y'all people for talking to Jesus. That's just your Jesus friend. You know, that's just the friend you go to for Jesus. And that's the thing, too. We talked about this yesterday. We can't expect everybody to be everything for us, right? That could be just your friend that you talk about. If that's all they want to talk about, we can't change. We can't fix other people, y'all. We can only fix ourselves. So we have to give that person, that's what they want to do. So you let that person be fixed on Jesus and you talk to them about Jesus. The other things you want to talk about, you go talk to other people about. You talk to your significant other. You know, I don't talk to my honey about everything. Some things I only talk to my friends about. Some things, there's only certain friends that I talk about certain things. Like if there's something personal with a relationship, then maybe I'll only go to my sister because she's the one married, or I'll only go to certain people. Or if I'm having a situation with my body, I'll go to one person. Or if I'm having a situation in business, I'll go to another friend. I don't go to all people for everything. So we got to learn how to compartmentalize. And if your friend want to talk about Jesus, ain't nothing wrong with them. Let them be on their Jesus train. Let them be in their bubble and you use your other friends and other people in your lives for other things. Because we can only work on ourselves, y'all. We can't change people's lives. People are not responsible to be who we want them to be. Just like we're not responsible for the expectations of everybody else in our lives to show up and be who they want us to be. No, we're here to be ourselves, who God made us and who we feel we're supposed to be. So if that person feels like God told them to focus on Jesus, who are we to say, that that's wrong. You let them be in a Jesus bubble, and you talk to your other friends about those things, because we can't have, we can't want people to give us the freedom and we don't give other people that freedom too. And that's funny to me, but there are people like that. But you can't allow other people's expectations to get you off your square. You just got to show up as your best self. And if Katie or Bill or Stan, a lot of times, like I said, it's their projections on who they want you to be for them, not who they want you to be for you. Nobody in this world walks around wanting you to be your best self for them. They don't. They want whatever they want from you in that moment because of something that they need to better their situation. It has nothing to do with you. That's why I always tell y'all, read the book, The Four Agreements. We talked about it. We read about it on the Morning Motivation. But if you have not bought that book yet, you're doing yourself a huge disservice, because you learn in that book, no matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent, how people feel about you is none of your business, because it all stems on what they need and from their perspective. And so Jennifer said, good morning, Jennifer. All from LA. You always waking up. Y'all LA folks be waking up early. I love it. Percy says, I agree. Black women have enough pressure. Absolutely. So free yourselves, y'all. We got enough going on mentally, emotionally, with family, physical, stress, all this other stuff. Let go of other people's expectations of you. You will never meet them. You will never meet them. You can do, y'all, I was surrounded by white males in America. It didn't matter how smart I was. It didn't matter. And none of my peers, too. It didn't matter if I beat them in something. It didn't matter. I was never good enough. To some people, you will never be good enough, because it's not about that for them. They want to just beat you to make themselves feel better. Right? It has nothing to do with you personally. They don't even know you. They don't know what God has for you. So we got to give up all of that. We got to give up all those other people expectations from our family. Sometimes our friends, I'm so thankful for the friends that I have, because I'm able to come to them and say, hey, I know you're having this party. I know you're having this event. I know you're having this bachelorette party. It's something I just really don't want to do. Would you be okay with me sitting that out? And my friends are like, yeah, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do. So make sure that you're surrounding yourself by people who allow you to be who you are and accept you for exactly who you are, and continue to grow and work on yourself. But you're not here to meet other people's expectations. You're here to meet God's and yourselves. That's it. That is it. Jennifer says, Brittany, you are my motivation every day. Thank you. To get the day started over on the West Coast, I am gaining so much wisdom and knowledge as I walk my journey to success. Thank you. And thank you for that, Jennifer. Y'all be making my day. How are you, dang Dion? Haven't seen your face in a while. We missed you, right? Ella's like, hey, Dion. Hey, Dion, girl. Dion says, my mom is in the military still, and trust me, I know how it is. Exactly. And for some reason, they treat Black women like they know, like we know everything, just in my experience. Yeah, because we're set to a different standard, just like everything else in life. But I will say, some of that pressure is because we do it to ourselves, right? When I was in the military, all the Black seniors would come to us and be like, you're Black, so you gotta work 10 times harder, and you gotta show up, and you gotta make sure we had this expectation in our community as Black people in the military that we had to be, and they didn't have that same pressure. So it caused us more anxiety, more depression, more us feeling not worthy, because we already had this narrative that we weren't enough to start out with. And then we gotta work 10 times harder. For what? For whose acceptance? To get a good evaluation? It don't matter. You still not going to get that top lock, because somebody white, so I'm sorry to say, somebody white is going to do it just because they're white in the military. And I'm only speaking for military here. And this is my truth. And I still stand firm to say this to this day. We got to let those expectations go, y'all. When I freed myself of that, and that's an American thing for my international watchers, I had to free myself of that. Who cares? We have to let ourselves go, because we put more pressure on ourselves. I know a woman in the military, and she was racked and stacked. And what that means was she had every single military school that you could go to, that you could qualify as a woman. She went to, she was a jump master. She did scuba dive. She went to a scuba diving school. She had all the, she did air assault. She had all these amazing accomplishments under her belt, and they still did not regard her as the best. She spent years of trying to prove herself, years of trying to be the top, the best, and it never was enough. And I could tell that she didn't do that because she wanted to. A lot of us didn't do those things because we genuinely wanted to, and we wanted to be excellent, and we wanted to, it was to prove that we were good enough. And it didn't matter. They still won't think that you're good enough. So I almost said a cuss word on Morning Motivation. F them. How do you feel about yourself? That's the most important thing. When you can look yourself in the mirror and you know and love yourself and know you're putting your best foot forward. You know, we talked about this on my coaching program. We started last night, and I'm so happy that the ladies are in the, some of the ladies are in the building. You look yourself in the mirror and you say, hey, beautiful. Don't let other people's outside approval and opinions rock who you feel, how you feel about yourself. You know, tell yourself you're beautiful before anybody else does. Tell yourself you're smart and you're wise before anybody else does. You look yourself in the mirror every morning and you give yourself those affirmations. So if people say you ugly, if people say you are smart, you're not smart, whatever, nobody else's opinions matter because you done already told yourself. You already done filled your cup up because God is sitting on the side of you saying, yep, you are. Yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are wise. Yes, you are this. He's sitting right there going, yep, that's my baby. Look at her. Yep, yep, she all of that. So both of y'all are in agreement. F everybody else's opinion. It don't matter. And I know that that's very hard to get to, but when you get that solid, when you get solid with yourself, when you can look yourself square in the mirror and square and be like, I'm proud of you. Look how far you come. Look how much work you're doing. Instead of worrying about meeting other people's expectations, because no matter how hard you try, you will never meet them. That is a failed test. That is a failed test. So rip that test up and toss it out the window. You ain't never going to make it. And just show up as your best self. And if you know you put your best foot forward every day, you gave the best effort you could, even if it's at 50, 80, whatever percent, because, you know, some days you're going to be able to give more than others because we're human, right? If you could show up and say, you know what? I did my best. I showed up and that is enough. Then that's enough. That is enough. That is enough. And you have to tell yourself, I'm enough. Okay, who cares if I don't run as fast as Billy? Who cares if I don't do spreadsheets like Susan? Who cares if I don't, you know, do this like Roman? I'm good enough. I'm enough. I got the job. I'm here. I'm enough. That's it. You didn't do this. Okay, that's how you wanted me to do it. I did it a different way. I'll fix it. Calm down. I'm enough. Period. You guys are enough. You guys are enough. Oh, I'm so glad you guys are happy. See my little community. I love y'all. Y'all such a community. I have heard time doing that can be cursing everybody. I have a hard time doing that. I be cursing everybody out at work. They are. You can't be cursing people out at work, Dion. Dion, you can't be cursing people out of work. Maybe in your head, you can't do that. And if they're higher than you, then you just do it at your pace. Okay, Susan, we'll get there. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But it doesn't matter. People outranked me that had high expectations of me. Who cares? You know, you do the job to the best of your ability. Of course, you go to work, you put your best foot forward, you execute. But you do it to your best ability. You'll be surprised when you let go of that need to be perfect or meeting their expectations. You'll probably do better. And not saying you, Dion, specifically, but give yourself that room and that grace. Like, you know, F it. Like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up and be the best Dion I can be. This is the best work that I can do. And of course, you continue to learn. You continue to grow. You get outside help. Sometimes go to your peers. Hey, do you know how to do this? We have to be humble enough to say, I don't know how to do something. We're not bad Black people because we don't know how to do something. We're human and we're just as smart. We're just as wise. We're just as funny. Sometimes smarter, sometimes more capable. We have to know ourselves. We're not inferior. We're the same. And sometimes, you know, I ain't gonna say what I was gonna say. Sometimes better. Kiki, I noticed that other races from different countries think lower of themselves. Black Americans don't. And that's because it's because of our society. Kiki, I don't know. Are you American? I'm not sure if Kiki's American, but yeah, in American society, we're taught subconsciously, consciously, that white is the best. And then everybody else kind of falls in ranking. And every other race is more superior than Black people. Like we've been programmed that Black and Hispanics were at the bottom. Everybody else, no matter if you're a foreigner, no matter if you're white, you're right, is what the American is what they teach us in America. Period. They do. And if they didn't feel that way, they wouldn't be trying to erase our history and take it out of school systems. I'll tell y'all this too. Another gripe that I have with Americans. I was having a conversation with someone, a white male, and he was saying how what's going on in Russia is going to be a stain on their country for decades, because they're basically calling it the new Holocaust, right? Everything that happened to the Jews in Germany and the stain that, you know, Germans even now to this day have because of what happened during the Holocaust, that the Russians are going to have the same thing. And it hit me. I said, oh, I wonder why Americans don't take that responsibility as the Germans did, as the Russians may in the future. They have this sweep under the rug, we did nothing wrong, get over it mentality, when everything is based on slavery here in this country, period, point blank. And if you don't believe it, look at our prison systems. Is that an excuse for us not to continue to execute and continue to be the best ourselves and the best? No, I'm not saying that we're held back by certain things, but they don't acknowledge that here in this country, the same as other countries do. So that's why that mentality is the way it is. And a lot of people are oblivious to it. It's just in our culture in America. That's just how they operate. Now, it's not everywhere, but it's damn near everywhere. Whether you live in a city, a small country, the small towns are even worse. The South is even worse. Not Atlanta, but outside of Atlanta, it's like that. In Texas, outside of Little Houston, Texas, and outside of, you know, you go some places in Texas that you just feel like we're allowing you to be here. So Black folks, be on your best behavior. That's the air and the energy. And it's okay to acknowledge it. It doesn't mean you have to bow down to it. Doesn't mean that has to be your reality. Doesn't mean you have to sign up for that narrative and continue on that mindset. No, because you're worth being exactly where you are. You're worth more. You're worth being treated with respect. So don't allow people, anybody with a different race or mentality. No, who cares? I'm showing up on me. I don't care if God made me a Black woman. Thank you. But that's it. That's where that stops. Now what? Now get out my way, because I got work to do, you know? So we have to definitely make sure our mentalities are stronger than what they feed us here in America. No, for real. Sometimes you got to tell people, Katie, I'm gonna get to it, Katie. Thanks, Katie. Thank you. You got to play the game. You know, sometimes you do have to play the game. This is chess, not checkers, because we have to. Playing the game doesn't mean you have to be fake, but you're playing a game. You have to. My honey plays chess. You have to make the good chess moves in order to get the best outcome for yourself. You know, we're not worried about how they think about us and what they think. We're playing the game. Play the game to your best ability. I used to be against the game. I used to hate the game. But the thing is, when you sit out the game, then you lose opportunities to further yourself and to advance yourself and advance your family. Play the game.